I'll begin with a rhetorical question. Have you ever cried for joy? As strange as that seemed, just after the Gospel of St. Mark that we had proclaimed, it sounds rather foreboding, but it's just a cry of the sentinel, if you will, to pay attention to what's going on in the world, in your own lives, be ready for the Lord, especially in this case for his final coming. But I had a birthday this past week, and one of the teachers brought over the second grade to the office to sing happy birthday. And in the midst of that, as I'm in the midst of all of these children, one of them, a little boy, was tugging on my habit sleeve. And I looked down and he said, with that wide-eyed, innocent look of children, "Have you cried for joy?" And I said, "Why would I cry for joy?" He said, "Well, it's your birthday. I cry for joy on all my birthdays." And I said, "Gee, I can't remember the last time that I cried for joy." I said, "I remember when I made my first vows in the community back in 1967. Those were tears of joy. And then solemn vows, a couple of years later, tears of joy. When I was ordained a deacon and then a friar, a priest, I cried for joy. It occurred to me this meant nothing to this child. You know, the glaze kind of comes over them like they're waiting for me politely to finish. I've cried tears of joy." "Oh?" I said, "When did you cry tears of joy?" Now, we're having this conversation with all these children buzzing about us. There were just the two of us. It was one of those moments that you step into that I thought to myself, if I can keep track of every word that he says, write it out and send it to Catholic Digest, they may pay me $50 for a little filler. He said, "I cry tears of joy sometimes when I say my rosary." "Oh," I said, "you like your rosary?" "I love my rosary," he said. "As a matter of fact," he said, "the other day I thought I lost it. I take it with me to bed and I pray it when I'm going to sleep. And I woke up in the morning and it was gone. And I said to my little brother," because he's always getting into my stuff, "did you take my rosary?" And his little brother said, "No, I didn't take your rosary. I have my own rosary." So he said, "I looked around and I got down on my knees and there it was under my bed." And he said, "I cried tears of joy." And I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus, for such declarations of faith in this world. And then I said to him, you're very bright, aren't you? And he said, "My parents are very impressed with my knowledge." And speaking of parents, that sort of thing, of course, comes from the Catholic family. First teachers in the ways of the faith. A CCD program. A Catholic school. We are in loco parentis, the local parent, that can only give to them and affirm to them what we hope and pray is going on in their own families, especially when you've taken a third vow the day you were married in the Catholic Church. Will you accept children from God and lovingly raise them up in the faith? And the party says that is being married, yes, that fiat, and so we hope it goes. But I thought of that. The tears of joy, it's an old story, ostensibly coming from the Franciscan tradition of St. Anthony of Padua. And it has to do with, once upon a time, there was a woman who was visited by Jesus Christ. She was known to be a saintly person, and Jesus came and said that he wanted to reward her. And she said, "What should I ask? What do you most want?" She said, "Well, I'd like to see about hell and heaven." "Your wish will be answered," he said. So he took her and they went to these black pearly gates, really quite attractive. And he went in and there was this tables and tables and tables of wonderful food and people sitting on it. But they weren't eating. It seemed that they had great big long arms and they had no elbows, but they had forks at the end because they had no elbows, they couldn't get the food, the fork, to their mouths. And so they were crying real tears because they were hungry. The stuff was tantalizing, and they were in anguish. So then he took her to heaven, white pearly gates, very attractive. And he went in, and there was these wonderful tables laden with the same kind of gorgeous food. And she looked at the people that were sitting there, same state of physicality, long arms, no elbows, forks at the end in the hand. But they had taken the forks and were feeding each other. And then the moral of the story is that they were laughing with tears of joy. And then St. Anthony said, "And what are you feeding on?" Or, "What are you feeding to others?" I think about that with the Corinthians today, when Paul says, Jesus will keep you firm in the faith. He will convict you, and you will stay close to the faith. He goes later on to say in Romans, in season and out of season, he will keep you firm in the faith. In good times and in bad times, he will keep you firm in the faith. But we have to invest in that faith through prayer, because prayer nurtures the faith. And here you are, nurturing your own soul life, whatever is going on in your life. Please, God, you are sustaining us in our walk as we carry our crosses and we suffer our pains and our passions, our anxieties and fears, that down deep inside we know that we're just passing through, ostensibly learning lessons of wisdom, as the first reading from Isaiah would say today, versus foolishness. And we keep our eyes certainly on the cradle, but most especially because it leads to the cross. And from the cradle to the cross, that leads, of course, to Christ's passion, death, and resurrection, and our own passions and sufferings, our own deaths to sin, and our own, please God, recitations, not just recitations, but resurrections, a brand new way of being, which are those dawnings and those moments when we might cry for joy just because something wonderful has happened. Even as an epiphany of how God has graced me, how God has helped me and saved me, when I reflect back, something terrible could have happened in that moment or with those people or in that experience, but I see upon reflection, indeed, it's true what Socrates says, the unexamined life is not worth living. To look back and see that you've been there all the time. I was the one who was blind. I think about keeping us firm in faith. If you saw what's going on in Spain a couple of days ago, it's a democratic government with a monarchy, unusual. But there is a socialist agenda, and they are fraught with many social problems right now. One of the things that the president came out with is that assembly is not allowed, public assembly, and most especially whether you are an individual or you are in a group, it is against the law to pray the rosary in public. And so they showed this peaceful demonstration of Catholic people in Madrid, 500 of them. They were not only praying the rosary, but they were holding the rosary up like this, if you saw the videos. And then what happened? The police came by. And the police, with their billy clubs, men, women, teenagers, and children, were being beaten on their backs and on their kneecaps, being reduced to some agony, but clinging to those rosaries, and then being carted off to some kind of transportation to take them to jail. In a country that gives us Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross and the great mystics in the church and the Catholic witness that has gone on there, you see how the devil attacks people and places that have a Catholic history, a Christian history, especially in times of persecution. In this particular case, God is sustaining them in the midst of that cross-carrying and persecution. When I watch those people holding up those crucifixes in that group, and kind of circling the wagons, if you will, and being surrounded by the Madrid police force and being beaten with these black billy clubs on the back of their necks and spines and on their kneecaps, and them crumpling to the ground in agony and being carried off, but still praying the rosary, I have to tell you, I found myself crying tears of joy. They are witnesses to us of people who are faithful, not just in the good times, and I'm going to pout when something bad happens, which can happen to any of us, but there comes a time when we are called to invest in what we believe and to act it out, and not just privately, but publicly, and that happens in the family, because it's to be happening in the marriage, because the parents are the first teachers in the ways of the faith, and they give witness to coming to Mass on Sunday and making it important. And one of the saddest moments that I have, and I speak for the other friars, is that students who go to Nolan Catholic High School and students that come to St. Andrew Catholic School and their parents do not bring them to the Sunday Mass. Oh, for all kinds of reasons. We come here once a week, yes. Hey, God knows what's going to happen in the future of this country, let alone the world. So many people are putting down on their registrations at different polls of the population in the United States, N-O-N-E-S, when it says affiliation of the faith. And because of that, Father Dan and I were just talking about it this morning in the kitchen, because of that, the devil is ever more active than he has ever been since before the incarnation. And Father Dan was saying, I don't know about you, but what I am hearing all around, sometimes in the sacrament confession, and yes, I can vouch for it, not naming any names, of course, you don't realize how many children and teenagers and young people are getting involved in the occult. Why? Because the natural propensity of human nature is to, with joy, reach up to transcendence. And when that isn't happening, because of the need that we have to adore and venerate and be involved in mystery, which is defined as the surplus of things already understood, then they'll go somewhere. And most often in this culture, because of the internet, into the occult. Still, we have to cry to tears of joy because those who come to Mass pray for people like that, which is the responsibility that we have when we go to Mass and go to adoration and pray our rosaries. We are praying for people who are locked into sadness and do not realize the evil that they're involving themselves in just for the sake of some kind of power. More tears of joy. Yesterday, if you saw it on television, the news, in the Philippines, a bomb went off during a Catholic Mass at a Catholic university setting. 7 people were killed and 50 people were wounded. So sad. At a Catholic Mass, a bomb would go off, set off by the Islamic people, or certain ones that are terrorists. They're not all that way, thanks be to God. And what did the bishop have that community do within hours? Gather outside of that church and pray the rosary. For what? For the conversion of people who brought that about. That's the perfect Christian, certainly Catholic response to what we see going on in the world. One of the definitions of the Catholic Mass is, you gather the people to break the bread and tell the story. You gather the people to break the bread and tell the story. This is our story, intercessory prayer, the responsibility that we have from our baptisms on to pray for our brothers and sisters who are locked in some kind of an ersatz, a nothingness, a sloth, a paralysis, an anger, a fear, a greed for hunger, for power over other people, or influencing their own world and relationships. It goes on and on. It's always been so. But it seems to be happening more and more in this modern civilization, Birmingham, England. Just yesterday, it showed the police, 2 policemen, 2 bobbies, arresting a woman who was standing just outside of a certain boundary area of an abortion office or clinic. She wasn't praying the rosary. There was nothing in her hands. She was simply standing there with her head bowed all by herself. The police came a week ago and arrested her because she appeared to be praying. She wouldn't tell them whether she was or she wasn't. It wasn't really any of their business. They take her off to jail. She is fine. Yesterday, she's out there again, just dressed for winter. Her head is bowed. The policeman come up. It's on the video. He says, "You're being arrested because we believe you are praying in your mind. You're being arrested because we believe you are praying in your mind." You see what's going on. You see the need for intercessory prayer. You see the need for penance and for fasting, for good works, spiritual and corporal. You see the need to cultivate the faith in our marriages and in our families, and to teach the faith to our young people so that we can be confirmed in the faith and sustained in these times, that Jesus will give us the grace to stand firm. Because then there was a group of people who showed up in Birmingham with their rosary beads, standing much further away from that particular clinic, and they were saying the rosary out loud. And because of the public outcry in England about that single woman being arrested, the police dare not approach that crowd that were praying their rosary, because it was beginning to show a manifestation. Oh, I'm going to be dramatic and mention the word demonic. It means destructive. Freedom is being impinged upon. Arrested because we suspect that you're praying in your mind? When I looked at that once more, I have to tell you, tears of joy. There's a witness to the faith. There's someone by God that is standing up for what we believe. The church and the deposit of faith is supposed to be influencing the marketplace. The marketplace is not to influence the church. And that seems to be the conflict that we are involved with in many ways, without going into any more detail than I always have been. But doesn't it make sense that in the gospel mark we would begin with this watch and be vigilant, as opposed to being ignorant and tolerant and just accepting that, well, this is just the way things are. Well, they are the way things are. They've always been like this to an extent. But it seems to me, as some of the newest exorcists in their video programs on YouTube are talking about, the devil is coming out more and more. Statues of Catholic saints being torn down all over the world, especially at universities. Statues glorifying the devil with children at his feet or in his lap are being going up across the world. People who are Christians and wanting to study the scripture, especially in public universities or public schools, in many cases, not all, are being stopped from doing that. Christians are not allowed in high schools to study their faith and their scriptures and pray together. But they are allowing a group of Satanists to come in and form a club that adores the evil one. Pay attention. Be watchful. Be vigilant. This should be addressed in any way that you can in your school systems, although I don't know how extent it is here in this place. But the one thing that we can do the most, according to the scriptures, is pray and fast, and where it is appropriate, to speak your truth. It's the prophetic sense. Those people that I mentioned, by the way, that are coming to pray and suffering whatever consequence, is called the prophetic voice. The prophetic voice means to speak the mind of God. And we are anointed in baptism to speak the mind of God. And we pray that people who are in circumstances where they are able to have the temerity and the boldness and conviction to speak the mind of God. For the rest of us, in our own lives, we pray for those who are suffering and are victimized and facing some injustices and again persecution. We pray that they will continue to be sustained and confirmed in their faith, as St. Paul says, by our common prayers here at St. Andrew's. You sometimes bring us to tears, I have to tell you, when we see the numbers that come here. The friars are so impressed. And the number that come to penance and confession after daily masses or on Sundays, Saturday nights, we can be here for hours. I had first Saturday Mass yesterday. I was here until it was at 8 o'clock Mass. I heard confessions until 11 o'clock. Father Dan heard confessions last night until 7 o'clock after the 5:30 Mass. We cry tears of joy because you come and you do what we're supposed to do, especially in Advent, for this infant Christ the King. Lord, I give you my sins. That's my gift to you. That's what you come for. I give you my sins, and you give me your grace and your peace and your conviction to stand firm and to be vigilant and to pray and to watch and to cry tears of joy.